Well, desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Write a subject up here on the board. Maybe the Lord will help us stay with it. I'd like to try to talk about spiritual stamina today. Stamina is a word that means, in a general sense, it's usually used in a plural form, but it's the fixed or firm part of a body which supports it or gives it strength and solidity. Thus we say the bones are the stamina of animal bodies. The ligneous parts of trees are the stamina which constitute their strength. So the grain of the wood is what gives the trees the strength. Another definition is whatever constitutes the principal strength or support of anything as the stamina of a constitution or a life. So I want to think about the principal strength or support as the stamina of spiritual life. And we sing songs about it. We sang one this morning, number 223, I'm Going On. And in that song, it's talking about overcoming the things that come against us. It's talking about having strength in the times when we could be overcome. And having enough spiritual stamina to win the reward, a crown, the prize. Says, I mean to fight on. We fight against opposing forces, no matter what that, in what realm we're talking about. But this morning we're talking about a spiritual conflict that can come against us. If I've heard it said that if you don't feel like you're fighting the enemy, then you've probably already lost the battle. You know, you're on his side now. But we all have this element where we are in constant battle with the forces of the enemy that comes against us. And for us to be able to keep up the fight, we have to have some spiritual stamina or strength. We could read through the rest of the verses, but we won't for time's sake. There's another verse of a song that comes to my mind. The title of it is, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And one of the verses says, if no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. That's stamina. That's spiritual stamina. I'm willing to keep on going the same direction, and I'm not going to turn back. In another song that we sang this morning, number 268, I believe we sang that song this morning. It says, be strong and valiant for the truth. Spiritual stamina. We sing about it. We laud it. We applaud it. We esteem it just as you would esteem strength in any other area, whether it's physical strength, whether it's strength to withstand confrontation. You know, sometimes when we hear people speak, and especially in the news, and somebody is being like attacked verbally by reporters or something like that, and they're able to give concise answers that makes it really clear of why they take the position they do, I look on it and say, there's a lot of strength there. And I like someone that can answer these gainsaying questions with courage and without coming across that they want to be malicious, but in a calm, collected manner, be able to answer these antagonistic questions. That's something I really appreciate in some, maybe a politician or something. But this song here says, be strong and valiant for the truth. He is our rock, the third verse says, our tower high, and to the meek he giveth grace. A shield he is to them that trust, the joy of those who seek his face. And the chorus says, be strong and firmly trust. Will you firmly trust in God through every test? Through every test, be true and fearless stand, and with his grace and strength be blessed. And then there's a song that I really like, and I'd kind of like for it to be part of the last service that I'm here at in this earth, sang by a quartet of young men. I believe one of them wrote this song. The title of it is They Stood True. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a foreign land. When the crowd knelt to the idol, they boldly took their stand. Not afraid of the evil king or the fiery flame, furnace flames, where others would have buckled, their faith in God remained. And they stood true when there was nothing left to do. They held their ground when no earthly help was found. They knew the Lord, and they depended on his word. And when there was nothing left to do, they looked to God. They stood true. Daniel knelt to pray each day to the Lord in a foreign land. The evil men around him tried to criticize this man. Standing still in faithfulness, he faced the lion's den when all he had was Jesus. Old Daniel would not bend. And they stood true when there was nothing left to do. The chorus is repeated. Stephen stood for Jesus, and he boldly preached the word. All the scoffing Pharisees despised the truth they heard. They stoned the fearless preacher as he lifted his eyes. Jesus stood to welcome him at the Father's side. And it ends up saying, when there was nothing left to do and no rescue was in view, when the world said they were through, they looked to God. They stood true. I'd like to be one of those that others could say, he stood true. But it's going to take spiritual stamina to be able to do that. We can sing about it. We read about it too. We read over in Psalms, the 15th Psalm. You might turn there. Read through this quickly. We read about it here, and he says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. That takes spiritual stamina to to be able to live up to that. So we read about it. The psalmist had a perception of it. We read about it in David's Mighty Men over in 2 Samuel, I believe it is, the 23rd chapter. We won't read all of this. I'll just challenge you to read this on your own sometime. But there's some amazing feats that were accomplished here by men that were considered to be David's mighty men. In the 10th verse, it talks about one in particular. It says, maybe starting in verse 9, it says, after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to the battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, so they were alone. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand claven to the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. So here's another account of someone standing true, someone that fought a literal battle for God's cause. This is in the Old Testament, of course. We read about it in Proverbs, the first chapter, in the 10th verse. Some of my favorite verses are over here in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That takes spiritual stamina and strength. Temptation is all around us. It seems to just be prevalent anywhere we turn, anywhere we look, anything we hear, anything that comes up against us, there seems to be a temptation almost on every hand. And that's why I'm thankful we can come to this setting and feel safe from many, many of those temptations. I don't want this atmosphere in this place to be something where people have to combat the myriad of temptations. Not that the devil won't come and try to plant a temptation here, but I want this to be as safe as environment as possible, where we can come here and we feel that there's a relief. It's like getting home and knowing that you're safe from the conflict of the day. I want this place to be a spiritually safe place where we can, but the reality is there's temptation all around us. And he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We turn a couple pages over to Proverbs chapter 4, and towards the end of this chapter, I'll begin reading in verse 23. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let mine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Keep your eyes straight ahead. It is so important for us to keep our eyes on the goal and not be distracted by all. I'm thankful for peripheral vision, because many times it can save us from a bump on the head, but literally. But peripheral vision spiritually, if we begin to try to absorb too much in our periphery around to the side of us, we can be distracted. So it takes spiritual stamina to look right on and to keep looking ahead. I would like to look in Acts now. We're still just bringing up some points of how we can read about it. We sing about it, we read about it, and we're going to ultimately talk about what it's like when it's put in practice. But I'd like to turn to Acts, the 6th chapter and the 3rd verse. And there's a situation here where it was needful for there to be some others to help. the disciples and they're ministering to the world around them. And in the, we'll go down to the sixth chapter of Acts, the third verse. It says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." There was some temporal affairs that needed to be taken care of, and he said, "I want you to look out seven men that fit this qualifications." And down in the fifth verse, we find here it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." So here's the names. And not that the others weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, but this chapter and the next one goes along with Stephen. Stephen was a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that God used him, and we know that not only was he the one that was used of the Holy Spirit during the good times, but when conflict and confrontation came, he stood true. So we read about this. We think, my, these are some examples. And there's a lot more places we could read in the Scripture about those that stood true. And you can say that's my aspiration too. But I want us to look at somebody that had a good aspiration in the Scripture. And yet, unfortunately, I feel like his experience probably relates to more people as individuals than we'd really like to think for. I'd like to have, wouldn't you like to have a congregation full of Stephens? a congregation full of people that live by those verses in Proverbs. A congregation full of the mighty men. A congregation full of Daniels and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. A congregation full of those that lived to Psalms 15. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place? Wouldn't it be? Don't get me wrong. I believe every one of us here can meet the expectations of these scriptures. We can fulfill and live out what we sing about when we sing number 223 and number 268. And when we sing the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus," I believe with all of my heart, or I wouldn't be standing in this position today. I believe that we can have that kind of experience where that we can be one of those that stand true. But I want us to turn now and look at the reality of so many that start out and they don't, you know, I'm glad, you know, for the saying that says, "All is well that ends well." You ever heard that? I was raised on a lot of colloquial expressions, and that's one of them. All is well that ends well. And I'm thankful the person that we are going to read about here, it turned out well. But for a while, it didn't look so good. In fact, it looked bad. So let's turn now to Matthew, the 26th chapter. And this is what the reality of spiritual stamina and the contest looks like in our individual lives. Matthew 26, verse 31 beginning, maybe verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You ever felt like that? You could be at a place where the presence of the Lord was so real in the revival meeting and the camp meeting, and maybe the service in the home congregation, and you could say, Lord, I got it. I'm never going to falter. I'm never going to waver. I am going to be true to you no matter what comes. And that's what Peter said. Peter said, though all men should, everybody else can fall away, but I'm going to stand true. That's what Peter boldly said. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You know, things can change so fast. Oh, I'll never go that. I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Whatever it is. And sometimes in less than 24 hours, we find ourselves failing at some point. But Peter said, I'm going to stand true. Peter said unto him, though I should, I'm going to back it up with something even stronger. He says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. They all said, Lord, we're willing to die for you. We're not going to deny you. Now I told you about this song here. They're talking about Daniel and the three Hebrew children and Stephen, and they stood true. We can read about it in the scripture. I believe spiritual stamina is a reality. It's something that we can all have. And I believe God wants us to have it. It's not just like made out of unobtainium. You know, that's a material that a lot of things seem to be made out of today. But unobtainium is not what this is made out of. It's a reality. We can have it. We can have it. We can stand true. We can have spiritual stamina in our day and age that we live in. And he said here, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, I believe that's James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So he left the other disciples behind, and he took three of them, one of them including Peter, the one that was very vocal, that said, Lord, I'll stand true. And this, you know, it seemed like there was a lot happened in this day. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, the one that said, Lord, though I die, I won't deny thee. I won't turn back. Lord, you've got my word. If everybody else turns against you and is offended, I won't be offended. I'm going to stand true. And he said, Peter, what happened here? Couldn't you just watch just a little bit? One of the most taxing things that we can do is stay alert. That's the most taxing thing we can do is stay alert. You want to have spiritual stamina? Start by staying alert. We can come here. I don't know how your night was, but you can come here and sit down. And I know these are not recliners in here, but They're not the hardest benches I've ever sat on in a church. And you can sit down here and the angle is pretty good and you can start to relax, and next thing you know, you find yourself nodding or jerking your head. The most taxing thing we can do sometimes is to stay alert. And Peter, after he made bold statements, and this wasn't a week later, this is all in the same day, remember, because Jesus said, before the day is out, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter went to sleep on him. And it's so important for us to stay alert. If we're going to have spiritual stamina, we have to stay alert, spiritually alert. I'm not saying you can't sleep at night. He goes on and says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You remember the song, this verse in Proverbs that said, let thine eyes look right on and the eyelids look right straight before thee? We read that. Here he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, help me to be able to be alert, constantly alert spiritually. He went away again the second time, prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. It was hard for them to stay alert. You know, it's hard for us in the times that we live in. I don't know about you, but I don't know what you had for breakfast, but you didn't have to skin it. I promise. If you had eggs this morning, you probably didn't even go out and get them out from underneath the chicken. If you had ham, you didn't have to go out to the smokehouse and get it. Whatever you had this morning was probably in the refrigerator, and it's been there for several days. And it was just at your fingertips. And if you wanted to put it in the microwave, you could do it. And, you know, there was a time that if you were going to have something to eat for breakfast on Sunday morning, you had to get up early. There wasn't no sleeping in. We live in a time that it's easy to be drowsy because everything is so convenient. And when the microwave don't work, then that's what really troubles us. It brings anxiety over us when the microwave don't come on. But when he come back, he found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto him, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. It's time. It's time to face the music. You know, when I come here and it comes time for the message, I don't want to be scrambling. I want to have something prepared. I depend on the Lord to give me illustrations. I don't have a speech written out. I don't practice it. You can ask my wife. I want the Lord to put the right words in my mouth at the time of delivery. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't come here totally empty-handed this morning. I came here because I gathered my thoughts. I asked the Lord for inspiration, and I want Him to be able to work through us, all of us. But if we're snoozing all the time, spiritually speaking, we're never going to be prepared for anything. But Jesus had got to the place he'd prayed through, is what we would call it. And he was ready to make the sacrifice and the commitment. And Peter, how do you think Peter is doing so far? We caught him asleep three times already. Let's go down a little bit further in this chapter in the 58th verse. It says this is after he had been apprehended and arrested, if you will. And in verse 58 it says, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants." And this phrase stood out to me like it's been there all of my life, but I didn't really catch it until just the other day. It says, "But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." To see the end. Don't that seem like Peter had already disconnected and was just an observer instead of a participant? He's looking on to see how's this going to play out. You know, instead of running to the front of the line and saying, "Lord Jesus, you remember I said that though all men would forsake you, I wouldn't. You remember me saying I'm willing to die for you? Well, I'm here now. I want to stand right here beside you, and I may not be able to say one word to the high priest. I may not be able to say one word, but I'm going to be right here beside you, and they're going to know that I'm with you." Peter didn't do that. He didn't have enough stamina, did he? And unfortunately, many people, if they don't fall asleep, they find themselves, when things aren't going the best, they find themselves, if they started out to live for the Lord, they find themselves kind of separated a little bit and off to the side and just looking to see, how's this going to play out? I wonder what the end is going to be. Instead of saying, "Me too, I want to be part of that." What would happen when they took Jesus up there and began to question him? What if all of the other disciples, Judas was out now, what if the other 11 had walked right up there with him and said, "If you're taking him, you got me to deal with too"? I wonder what kind of impression that would have made. Maybe there would have been, maybe there had been 14 crosses that day instead of 3. I don't know. But none of them had the stamina. And Peter, it says here, he went in and sat with the servants at the back of the crowd, off to the side, in the shadows, to see how it would end. I never noticed that before, and it just struck me so much. Peter's stamina was faltering, was it not? And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a place where our stamina is faltering. So I'd like to skip down now to verse 69. And it says, "Now Peter sat without the palace." I don't know if he was kind of by himself, standing over under a tree or in the shadows. "And a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. And he looked at her and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. What made you think that? I don't know what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch," so he relocated himself. He went to another place. He says he'd gone out into the porch. "Another maid saw him and said unto him that was there, This fellow said unto them other." Maybe he was by himself in the first instance, and this time he was with some others, kind of mingling in with the crowd. You know, he's still there to see how it was going to end. But he's more disconnected now than he was when he said that. And this is the progression the enemy would like to use to destroy our spiritual stamina, where we go to sleep and then we wonder, well, I wonder if I just stood off to the side here, I wonder, you know, before I really stick my neck out, I'd like to see how this one ends. But before long, if we allow ourselves in that position, The enemy will try to maneuver us to a place where we're in open denial. And that's where Peter had got to. His spiritual stamina had flatlined, if you will. It wasn't there anymore. The second one, he was trying to blend in with the crowd. And when they had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that was there, "This fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." Oh, terrible thing. I don't know what he actually said, but it doesn't matter. It says it was an oath. It was something, I don't know whether it was a vulgar word or if it was some kind of, what kind of swear or promise or whatever. He was in complete denial and rejection. His spiritual stamina had completely gone away. And after a while came unto him they that stood by him and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech." You talk like him. You got the same kind of mannerisms and when you talk, it sounds like you're one of his disciples. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter came to himself and realized, this is my words, that he had lost his spiritual stamina. I'm not trying to point a finger of accusation at anybody, because I could point them back at me. I would say that all of us have found ourselves in a place where we wish we had more stamina. Looking back now, I wish I'd had more stamina. And I'd say that you can say that too. There was times that I wouldn't have qualified to be one of David's mighty men. There's been times in my life that I wouldn't have been. I didn't keep my blinders on like I should have, that Proverbs talked about. I didn't have the strength to stand as true as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. I'm thankful for the opportunity that Peter had, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that each one of us have today to recognize exactly where I'm at. And Peter, it says, went out and wept bitterly. And he said, "Lord, I failed in such a miserable way. I didn't do what I said I was going to do." Because remember what Peter said in the beginning? "Lord, though all men forsake you or be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." "Lord, I'm going to be one of those that stands right there. I'll go with you all the way." And yet, when Jesus was facing the music, Peter was in the back of the crowd. And sometimes we may look back and see some places in our past. And I'm not trying to dig up the past, but I'd just like for us to learn from the past. And I'd like to ask us today, if we found ourselves in a place that Peter was when he denied the Lord, seek a path back. Because how did Peter end up? Peter ended up being one of those that we could add to the verse in this song that stood true, did he not? Peter ended up his life being able and willing and capable to stand true and his spiritual stamina when he departed this life was, it was solid. It was something that we can tie off on. And we read the words of Peter and recognize that of all men that were human at the time of Jesus' presence on this world, Peter was probably the most human. Peter was more like maybe us than we want to believe sometimes, or we're more like him. And I want you to know that wherever our stamina is today, spiritual, we're going to have it. You know, if Peter had left this world denying the Lord, he'd be lost today. If we leave this world sleeping at the wheel, so to speak, on our stamina, it's not going to be good. If we allow ourselves to be a bystander and not actively producing spiritual fruit, we're going to find ourselves coming up short. But Peter was able to restore his spiritual stamina, and that means we can too. By the grace of God, we can restore our spiritual stamina, and we can be like one of those in this song. We can add another verse and put your name in there. They stood true. I want that. I want it like Peter wanted it when he said, though all men would be offended by you, I won't be. But I'm going to live it out. I want to live it out like Daniel did, like Stephen did. I want to be able to have the goods on hand. And I want you too. You pray for me.